This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned now for this next hour of worship. And we thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the grace you've given us in this past hour. We thank you for your words. We believe to be true, we know to be true, and that Heavenly Father giveth light and understanding to those who do not have it. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we could stand here in thy stead and preach it in the power of thy Holy Spirit uncompromisingly and with no compromise whatsoever, knowing, Heavenly Father, we're doing that which you've ordained us to do, to be true to thy word, to be true to our Lord, be true to the souls of men. We pray thy blessings upon this hour. We thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace that goes with us day by day, and that grace you bestow upon sinners that brings them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the precious blood of Christ. Cleanse us and wash us from every sin, from every evil thought, and bring all of our members into subjection unto thy Spirit. And lead us as we worship thee in this hour, that all praise and honor will be given unto thee. For Christ's sake, we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, give as the Lord leads you. You think about the storehouse. I praise the Lord that for that which is coming in for the storehouse, both money and the goods to fill up the shelves. We had some that brought some this morning. So if you think about it, think about bringing something from your house you might have on the side to help to fill up the shelves in our storehouse for the needy. And I went there Friday and pretty bare in there. So maybe you can help fill it up with some canned goods, some stable goods, that we'll be able to help the poor. It's God's storehouse for the needy. All right, now let's turn to number 62 and sing Near the Cross. 62. Yes, near the cross. 196, Jesus, I come. Or 96.
That's right, George.
196, Jesus, I come. 196. Gone by, and here we have another day, another service gone by, two of them, the Voice of Truth this morning and then the Bible School of the Air, and now we have another one, and another one tonight, and the first thing you know, the Lord delays us coming this next week, we'll have another day before us, and how time is passing on from us, time is passing from us. David said, I was once young, now I'm old. And he's never seen the people of God forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's just that quick. I was once young, and now I'm old. And that's the way life is. It doesn't stand still. It just keeps moving on. But I praise the Lord for redemption in Christ this morning. I praise him for his grace for his mercy. Praise him for you people who's given to us, kept us by his power, and brought us to this hour to bring God's message. You heard the message this morning, no compromise, from our late pastor. And many have said how good a message it was. As you listened, that message has never changed. It'll be the same message if we're here 20 years from now, we're still here. No compromise. And that's been the cry through the years, century after century, with God's anointed preachers. No compromise. No compromise, but separation. And so we're going to speak on the subject this morning. I didn't know the message would be this morning on no compromise, but we can call the message at this time separation or no compromise. Separation or no compromise. And so we have our text in the second Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Thinking about that message, about the message this morning during the week, about separation, no compromise. We cannot afford to compromise. The compromise will do more harm than good. It cannot do any good at all. I'm glad that no one compromised with my soul. I praise the Lord for it. I kept thinking about what someone wrote to one of our listeners. Since I got that letter last week, someone wrote to one of our listeners and trying to influence her probably some way or another. I don't believe they can. Telling, you know, I just don't like Brother Gayo's preaching. It just does not, it doesn't appeal to me. He doesn't feed the sheep. But she said, in the letter, she says, you appeal to me and you feed me. And I praise the Lord for that. When I thought about that, I said, you know, I'm not feeding the sheep. I'm not feeding the sheep. And I got to thinking, well, from the source it came from. So right away I begin to think, well, they're not of us. They were once of us, but they're not of us anymore. And therefore they don't hear us, they can't hear us. But you're being fed, I'm sure. You're here this morning. God's feeding you. It's not me, it's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit's teaching you, feeding you. He's just using me as an instrument, as a vessel fitted for the Master's use. And that's what where I've been now since December the 8th. And I've been here ever since. God hadn't failed me one time. The Holy Spirit hasn't failed me. You know, that's the marvelous work of our Lord. Just walking in his will, looking to him for his message. He gives us his message, takes away. In fact, I used to many times just be a little bashful, a little timid. But he's taken away that timidity out of my life, which I praise him for. And given me just a little bit more boldness to preach his word, to be sure. And then I am sure, I praise the Lord for that. And whereas I speak, and I don't have to go along and tag this individual to follow me and tag that one and call this one up and write this one. I don't have to do that. Well, all we do is declare the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit goes out and tags them. Puts a number on them, brings them in. Counted faithful. saves that individual, counts them faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to compromise with anyone. I don't have to try to preach to get the better side of anyone. I preach because it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased God when he separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. And then it pleased him to put us into the ministry, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to those that will have it, those that will receive it, those who have a hunger for it and desire after it. And those are God's people, that's the sheep. Not goats, sheep. Goats eat tin cans and anything else you throw through them. But a sheep is kind of particular. He goes along feeding. An old goat will buck, 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 and that's all he'll do. That's right, he'll buck. He might have some bucking here this morning, I don't know. But God knows them. They'll either get it right, or the Lord will buck them out. And that's true. And if you're not right, if you don't want to get right, if you don't want to believe, well, then there's nothing else to do but the Lord set you aside and let you become all that more, much more hardened. And that's the thing I feared in any individual who's been in the preaching of the truth. And underneath he has a rebellious spirit or a jealous spirit. And that the truth, the more he hears, the more he becomes hardened against it. And that's what happened in many cases, many instances of those who went out from us. They have become hardened and cruel. You look at their faces today, it shows all over them. The one you can't feed them. But the sheep will be fed. God feeds me and I feed the sheep. And praise the Lord for that. Now, this sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, that 11th verse. O ye Corinthians, our speech to you is candid and our heart is wide open. On our part there is no constraint, but there is constraint in your affections. In fair exchange I speak as unto my children, open wide your hearts to us. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, I'd like for everyone here this morning to make this personal to your heart. This is God's word. Let's begin with that. This is God speaking to those who say they're saved. God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to these who are not saved. And there's the separation line in here that God commands us and appeals to us to be separated for our blessing, for his glory. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. All right, if you've been saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You are the temple of the living God. And there are some things that the Lord God of glory appeals to our new nature, to us who believe. And what he wants us to do. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now listen to this. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now listen to that. Can't you imagine anything greater, believer? To know that Christ dwells in you, your hope of glory. And he speaks, this is the very God, the triune God speaking here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's speaking here. And when he comes in, all three come in to dwell. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. What did he say? He said, ye are the temple of the living God. And then he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just to think, we are the people of the living God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, that's something. He says, I'm going to receive you. I'll receive you. But there are conditions laid down here. Do you know that? Do you know that the Word of God lays down condition for every one of us? In order for us to be blessed or to be of any source of blessing or power to anyone, for anyone? Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is God Almighty speaking here. God All-Powerful. Omniscience. He's great, the great God, the Almighty God. The word separate means to part company with. Now you listen. To part company with. To withdraw from. In Hebrews 7:26, we read, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, now listen to this now, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. All right, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, he was separate from sinners. He ate with them, dined with them, he walked with them, and yet separate from them. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. The scripture speaks of separation as twofold. Now you listen. For whatever is not faith is sin. Therefore, we should separate ourselves from whatever is contrary to the mind of God. Now, he reveals his mind to us. He reveals, or I might say, he reveals his will unto us through his word by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the, we find the revealed will of God for every believer's heart and life and living. In other words, God does not excuse us. And we cannot say that we're walking, we do not know. How can we know the mind of God? How can we know the will of God? It's by the Bible, the scriptures. How did you find out about you were a lost sinner one day? Somebody came and told it to you? Or did you find out from the Word of God? How'd you come to find out that Jesus is the Savior of sinners? You found out by the Word of God. Someone told it to you, perhaps, but you went and studied the Word of God, meditated upon it, come to find out that you're a sinner and Christ the Savior. How'd you come to find out about life itself, about this world? It's through the Bible. How'd you come to find out that this world is under judgment? By the Word of God. We read in 1 John 2:15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, but then exhort us to be transformed in our hearts and our minds, in the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which means not to be conformed to its desire, nor its motive, nor its act. The apostle is speaking of this present world system, which includes false teachers who are vessels fitted for destruction. Now let us turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and hold that 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. That we can give no reasons why we should excuse ourselves and not knowing the knowledge of God and the will of God. Now, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning with that first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now listen. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Filthiness nor foolish talking. Another place, foolish jesting. Foolish talking. Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now there are ways you can reprove them. And we're going to lay down some here. Just read on now. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever doth make manifest is light. Now, in 2 Corinthians 7:14, I mean 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? Now there are words of caution here, not only to the Corinthians, whom the apostle directs this message, but also for us against mingling with unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked or joined together with unbelievers, in that 14th verse. This passage applies to church relationship as it applies to society or partners in business with the unsaved. Now listen, an unsaved man is actuated by different principles from those which incite to action a born-again believer. Do you know that? To be joined together with unbelievers. To be yoked together with unbelievers. Now listen, the same thing applies to marriage. Now sometimes we're afraid to speak of things like that for fear we're going to hurt somebody or it's going to cause a arousation in the hearts of many. But when you talk about to our young people who are growing up. The warning given in God's Word, the exhortation given there, is not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, there are reasons for that in the Word of God, for every heart in life. Now, you might say that I'm not saved, but you're under the preaching of the gospel. And you are the influence of the gospel, where the gospel can influence your life. And you out in radio land, and those that will hear this tape in the future, it is the same thing in these verses here that the Apostle Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That goes for marriages, for businesses, and so forth. Or to you who are contemplating marrying, if you are saved or you want to be saved, the admonition given here is not to join yourself with unbelievers. That's God's word. And I'm going to stand right there, regardless of what individuals might think. Because I'm trying to save you from harm and from much disaster. Look around you and find out and see how many have married outside of the Lord. You say, be true to my soul, Pastor. Well, I'm being true to your soul. I'm being true to the Word of God. And I don't want to vary one way or another. I want to stay right there with it. It's just like we said in the Sunday school class this morning about these two characters that turned away from Paul. Many of our correspondents believed that they were Christians, but they turned away. But how the Holy Spirit opened that up to us after much thinking and much heart searching. Now you listen. Now I know you can't help the condition you're in right now as being married to unbelievers. But you do much injustice to your life and to the life of those that you marry, that do not believe like you or have the same principles, the same faith, the same hope. The admonition is given here not to join yourself with unbelievers, for you to go contrary to the instructions as written in the Word of God is to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. And I know I can hear some people out there in radio land saying, amen, amen, amen. Someone called me last week and said, Brother Gayo, the first things she said out of our mouth, I didn't know, it was a long distance. First thing she spoke, Brother Herman, be true to my soul. Or preach the gospel. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. I said, now, what do you mean by that? And then she went on to explain. She said, you're preaching the truth. And God has dealt with my heart and my home. And I'm beginning to make up my mind by God's grace that our home is going to be different. It's not going to be like it was. You've been preaching on the home. On the home. God's got a hold of my heart. Now, you cannot do anything wherein you find yourself now, in the state you're in now. Your only hope is to submit yourself unto the Lord. Is to trust the Lord, believe the Lord. There should be no compromise in society, business, and marriage. The Word of God tells us that it is wrong for those that are saved or those who want to be saved, talking about the awakened sinner, to join in agreement with the wicked and with the profane. Agreement in business. And I dare say that's why some are not saved. Such an agreement leads to danger. To put one bad apple in a basket of good apples will eventually result in the whole basket of apples becoming worthless. All right, now, back to that sixth chapter, 2 Corinthians. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, what friendship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? To be yoked with wicked men and unbelievers is forbidden by God. Now you know what a yoke is. I cannot tell it as good as someone who's experienced it and worked with it. And of course, we don't see too much of it now. But a yoke, when they used to plow, they put the two cattle or two oxen together to plow the field. And they put a yoke around their neck that will keep them in line. And they will guide those two oxen. And they would have to go along together. If one rub and buck and kick and everything else, it would make one of them's neck sore. They'd have to plow that field together going down the line. That yoke was put there for that purpose. Yoke yourself with an unbeliever in business, marriage. It goes against the grain, doesn't it? The result would be you get a little raw around your neck. Now listen, what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, what friendship had righteousness with unrighteousness? To be yoked with wicked men and unbelievers is forbidden by God. It is true. We have to work with them. We have to work with them. I work with them. You work with them. But we do not have to be yoked with them and partake of their sins. You don't have to be partakers of their sins, of their unbelief, of their rebellion. We should never allow them to become our bosom friends. And what communion had light with darkness? Now you listen. Communion speaks of having all things in common. And we're studying on the first epistle of John. And what a blessing it is to my heart. First time I heard myself preach. No, it was the second time I heard myself preach at home. I got one of the tapes. And I thought I did a job of failure. I felt like a failure up here. Felt like I was just preaching and teaching against a brick wall. And others said, no, that blessed my heart. You know that's blessed my heart Wednesday night. You know, this blessed my heart. That was a gracious study. And I said, thank you, as most I could say, because I felt like I was a complete failure. And I wanted by all means to hear that tape and see how much I failed. But you know, when I got home and Brother A.J. brought me that tape and I played it, I wept, I cried, I rejoiced, not because I was bringing the message, not because it was me, but because the blessing and the instructions and the fellowship that I was already having with the Father and with the Son by the Holy Spirit. And so that's where our communion and that's where our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. He is our bosom friend, not unbelievers, not those who scoff or make fun of what you believe. Communion speaks of having all things in common, the same interest. My interest is Christ. My interest is in the gospel. Where is your interest? My interest is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your interest? Where do you delight and rejoice and make laughter in the Lord? Is it in the Lord or is it in the world? Do you laugh and get a lot of joy out of silly jokes or sinful jokes? And get delight and pleasures by listening to others profane the blessed name of our Lord? Or is our interest is to uphold that name, uphold that faith, rejoice in the Christ that saved you? All blood-bought, born-again believers, they share in the same interest. We read in Acts 2:44, and all that believe were together. They had all things in common. Isn't that wonderful? That's what I delight to see here and out throughout Radio Land, a people that have everything in common. There's the common joys of salvation. There's their common interest in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's their common interest in His salvation, in His grace. Their common interest. On those bases alone can we have fellowship. Only on those principles alone can we enjoy fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again in Acts 4:32, and the multitude of those that believe, they were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. I tell you about the need of the storehouse. Oh, yes. Yes, he's telling us the need. Let's back him in that need. Or I might tell you about the need of this ministry, in the printing, or of the work. Yes, let's find out that need. Everything in common. As well as in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the common faith, as Titus 1:4 tells us, and also that common salvation, Jude 3. And what does that common salvation do to us? It puts us all on the same level, doesn't it, huh? There's no little I's or big U's. It's just all on the same level. We have the same interest. Whether you'll be a professor in the school, or whether you'll be a judge on the bench or a lawyer in the courts, doesn't matter where you are, if you're down and out and God found you in the gutter and lifted you up and put your feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, washed you in His blood, you have that common interest in that salvation as well as that rich man that God got a hold of. Makes us all one in Christ. And that's true of our fellowship, and we love to be yoked together with believers. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Unbelievers have a common interest, don't they? They love their money. They love their money. You take people who love their money, they're unbelievers. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And underneath of all of that is the covetous spirit. And no covetous person will enter the kingdom. So therefore, they have a common interest together. They love their worldly pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. They love to have their own way. Me, mine, and my. Let's make it. Doesn't matter how we get it, let's make it. They have a common interest. Work for me, but give me my share. And you find out two business people working together. One has their interest in Christ, and the other one has it in the world. And one thinks about things that belong unto the Lord. God's broken that covetous spirit in his heart or her heart. And the first thing you know, this other individual who doesn't know anything about the grace of God, he's got a covetous spirit. He'll get it the best way he can. And then you have to go along with him and get it, maybe sometime falsely, unjustly, but get it anyway. And so therefore, you cannot be yoked with that individual. You cannot take that which is done in an unjust way. But for you to be yoked with an unbeliever who believes in getting it the best way they possibly can, let's get it. You can't go along with that, can you? You'll get it the honest way, you won't get it at all. And the first thing you know, if you don't watch yourself continually with that individual, he'll drag you along with him. They love to have their own way. They are self-willed. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They think there's nothing wrong in desecrating the Sabbath, the Lord's day. And many times, if you're in that type of a business, and you'll be led away with them for interest, for money, for gain, knowing that you are desecrating the Lord's day, but therefore to be a partner, be yoked together with him, to make a living, I've got to follow him on. I've got to go where he wants me to go. I've got to do this. You know, we're together in the same business, and we've got to do this and do that and neglect God's word and desecrate the Sabbath day. And how they are doing it. Keep the Sabbath day holy. That's God's word. That's not law. That's grace. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Oh, but that was all under grace. No, it isn't. No, it wasn't. The God of all grace is speaking that to our hearts. And brother, it's grace for me to keep his day holy. And there's no job that'll pay enough for me to desecrate God's day. And I found out through the years, as you honor the Lord, you honor God's day, he's going to honor you by blessing you and resting you in your heart. He'll give you spiritual blessings you never would have gotten. I know that happened to me and when I at my job I worked 22 years with. I didn't have to go. It was just a little bit money, extra money, time and a half, time and a half, a little bit more money. And I went there. I was miserable. My thoughts began to come up about the services that we were holding here on the Lord's Day. I didn't have to have it, but I went. I was miserable. And I made a vow unto my Lord, I wouldn't work another Sunday. And I didn't. Because I found my place here. Here in God's house. And he's blessed me. He honored my presence here with his presence. And that's true. Keep the Sabbath day holy. People are spending it, desecrating it. Now they're open to gambling racetracks of the city. They don't have enough 6 days. They've got to get 7 days in it. I know when I read that in the paper, it just made me boil over what Satan is doing, how he's blinded the men of this city. He's covered their eyes with a spirit of covetousness, of want, of business. It's because of the blindness of their hearts. God's left them. They speak evil of those who are preaching the gospel. They call us narrow-minded, beside ourselves, and so forth. As Revelation 21:8 tells us, the unbelievers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The believer has a glorious future. He looks forward to. We read in 2 Peter 3:13, and nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Our time is slipping by quickly. I'm not going to get through here, but perhaps maybe next Sunday I'll finish it. But there's a lot here. Now, just a little bit more. Now, look at verse 15 of the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. What concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Now, Belial speaks of the devil, Satan, the spirit of evil personified. Christ did not agree with Satan, nor did he work in harmony with him. He showed no sentiments whatsoever towards him. Now, if you read, if we turn over to Matthew, the fourth chapter, quickly, the fourth chapter of Matthew, and begin reading with that third verse. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taking him up into the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, or put the Lord thy God to the test. Again, the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, or begone, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaved him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. All right. Now the Lord Jesus Christ did not agree with Satan, but he always rebuked him. And then the same spirit of the devil or Satan now works in the children of disobedience, as Ephesians 2:2 tells us. In the children of disobedience. Now why is it that there are some that won't believe the gospel, then there are others that will believe the gospel? Everyone, as the scripture in Ephesians 2:2 tells us, that everyone at one time were children of disobedience, but God had made the difference. God had made the difference in our hearts and lives, and brought us into the obedience of the truth of His Word. And we began that in salvation. We do not leave it off, but continue in the obedience of God's Word. And we'll be able to say like David, I delight, or the Apostle Paul, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I meditate upon thy commandments all the day. I love thy word. I love thy truth. Can't you see that? Can't you see the child of God, his heart crying out unto his heavenly Father? Now we have to leave you in Radio Land until next Sunday. Be with us at the Voice of Truth and the Sunday School Hour and this regular preaching hour. Till that time, may God bless you. Now next Sunday, we're going to continue where we left off, the Lord willing, today. There's quite a bit. But the Lord calls His people to separation. 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 Our blessed Lord was separate from sinners. He was. He received sinners, but he was separate from them. He did not take part in their jokes, in their jestings, in their foolish talkings, and in their unbelief, in their disobedience. He did not comfort them in it either. And when we go side by side, yoked together with those who do not believe, who are ungodly, and in willful disobedience, and making fun of what you believe and who you believe, and of the grace of God that's working your heart and life, and then for you to go along with them, you give them comfort. But our lives should be that in every circumstance, we are to rebuke those. Rebuke the unbelievers. Rebuke the ungodly. Might not say a thing, but by our lives. I'd rather be obedient unto the Lord. Walk with him. He said he'd walk in us. He'd fellowship with us. I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. That's what he tells us in his word. Don't you want to be a child of the King? Wouldn't you like for him to walk in your heart and life? Wouldn't you like day by day to reveal his will unto you? Walking in submission unto him. You're walking in the pilgrim's way, in the pilgrim's journey, and you're walking with the Lord. And like Enoch, one day the Lord's going to take you. The world's not going to miss you. The world doesn't miss our late pastor. They never missed the Apostle Paul. The 11th chapter of Hebrews says the world was not worthy of them. Do you know the world is not worthy of us here? That's right. We feel our unworthiness. We know that we're unworthy. But the world is, the Lord says the world is not worthy of us. I praise the Lord that I rather be esteemed in the eyes of God than to be esteemed in the eyes of men. I'd rather be counted faithful in Christ than to be counted faithful on the job. That's all right too. But my rathers are with him. I'd rather be with him. May the Lord's blessings rest upon his word this morning to our hearts and search our hearts, and may he give every one of us grace to abide by his word. You're a child of the Lord. You know the Lord. Do you know him? Ask yourself that question. Do I know Christ? Am I walking by sight? Am I walking by feelings? Or because of what the world's doing, I'm watching what they're doing, and I think that maybe perhaps I ought to be joining them in their pleasures and their sins? Or am I going by the word of God? The rule and the practice for our hearts and lives, for our talk. Like someone told me about an individual he works with, he said, I never saw a man who goes down to your church who uses such bitter languages and curse languages come out of the mouth of an individual. I said, that individual is not saved. I'll not give you any comfort whatsoever. There's a separation. He's got a big mouth. He's always popping off here, popping off there. God knows those that are his. God wants you. Or have you just got a little believingism, just to believe, and just a little faith, and just a little this and that, and then you can go off and do like you please, and you can talk about, oh,
how glad I am about the work continuing, and how glad I am about the Lord never closed the doors of this work, but you can go out in the world and everything else and play around. No one's offended by your life. I don't want to offend him. No. Well, brother, your life, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer and the grace of God's in your heart, you are going to be offensive to others. I am offensive to others because of my testimony. And my testimony is Christ, is knowing him. I'm not going to beat around the bush. If a person doesn't like my testimony, doesn't like my Christ, he's regarded as an enemy of the gospel. And so may the grace of our Lord rest upon every one of us, that you may know more of that grace. Walk in that grace. Let's stand. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you don't know the Lord, turn to him, will you? Turn to the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning we thank thee for your great grace that rests upon us. Thy mercy that follows us all the days of our life. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We bow unto thee, our Lord, our ruler, our governor. And Lord Jesus, we pray for these that thou art dealing with. Open their hearts. Our blessed Father, break them at thy feet. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.